So you should ask yourself, with every decision you make, is this good for the company?
Let's go! Live from the basement of the basement. This place has two basements, Marver, of WCPT. This is the Sports Cubicle, where the inmates run the asylum. And our boss, well, he yelled at us on Monday morning because we're working overtime. And now we're joined by the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. What's up, Marver?
Hey, how you doing, Devin? It's great to be with you here in person. And after a great Bears victory, I got my orange and blue. It's the best I can do. And we're hoping that your black and white will win tonight, too.
Let's hope so. And now we got next one, guy. He's over at his couch. We got sports on the couches. Mike Mercado. What's up, Mercado?
Marver, the one and only Devin, how are you guys feeling? It's been a crazy day. It's been an emotional last few days for White Sox fans. It was an emotional game for the Bears. How are you, boys? How are you, Chicago?
Well, before we start, I got to mention, normally I'd say now we got, you know, Mr. the Paulacious one, Paul Shivari, but he's the Raiders fan and the Sox fan here. He's not here right now. He's just so devastated by that Bears loss and those two White Sox loss. He didn't even get out of bed today.
I thought he went to the game tonight.
No, he's in bed crying.
Oh, okay.
And he has every right to be crying because the Chicago Bears went to Vegas and that defense did some work. And we saw some toughness from the rookie QB himself. It was a really interesting game, boys. I mean, you know, we're going to have some fun at the expense of our co-host, Paul Shivari. But I think one of the main things I want to really nail on this edition of the Sports Cubicle is the idea of we saw this kid, Justin Fields, have a nasty hit. A lot of different moments, I think, when we saw that kind of flash before our eyes as Bears fans because of all the pessimisms that we might have about this organization. But I don't know about you guys, that last drive to get the field goal to ice the game, it was one of the rare moments where I felt very confident in this team, despite whoever the coach may be, that the quarterback may be good enough to get the job done. I want to know your thoughts here in Chicago, but what do you boys think about that final drive and just the composure, the toughness that we saw from the rookie QB?
Well, I thought that all in all, the running game was the key. I mean, without Montgomery, I mean, who thought that it would be possible that Khalil Herbert would have 75 yards? I mean, we knew Damian Williams, he came up with 64 yards, but that was the surprising part because we didn't know that they'd be able to do that with the offensive line having some issues. But it was amazing. They controlled the clock, and that's a good thing because they'll really have to control the clock next week.
Yeah, very much so. This is a different Bears team I saw against the Raiders team that has been actually kind of on a roll, except with last week, starting off the season 3-0. And again, this team shut them down. Derek Carr, you know, who's been at his peak most of this season, you know, he was out for a little bit. They had to bring in good old Nathan Peterman. If you remember him, you know, then his Bills were having the worst record I could possibly think of. But seeing a guy like Justin Fields finally prove himself here, I mean, I got nervous when I saw Andy Dalton in there for one drive.
He threw a pass complete.
I know.
Third down.
And I thought for sure that was Matt Nagy being like, all right, we need to go back to Andy Dalton. But no, it's like it's finally starting to be like, if you just, like I've been saying, just let Justin Fields be Justin Fields. You can't make Justin Fields Andy Dalton. You can't make Justin Fields Matt Nagy's quarterback. You have to let Justin Fields just be Justin Fields. And that proves what it shows here was we had a steady defense. No, even without David Montgomery, we were able to run on a, I'd say, a pretty good team. I don't know about you guys. Yeah. I think the Vegas Raiders definitely shocked a lot of us at the start of the season.
Definitely. I mean,
you know, I think.
Yeah, go ahead,
Marvin.
No, I mean, I was agreeing. Go ahead.
Well, I think what surprised me the most, and we talk about the running game and even the expectations or how the Raiders were coming into this, but I think importantly, what we can kind of digest and we're going to be able to dissect over the next few days heading into Packer week is the idea of what they did with Justin Fields on the actual play calls, how they were stacking the line, what they were doing with the tight ends, what they were doing with the running backs. I think it's really important to understand that now that they're going all in on Justin Fields, and even though we had that scary moment like Devin was talking of with Andy Dalton in the game, I think realistically, now that you know, though, that Justin Fields long-term is the quarterback for this team and you're having the type of success you are with this running game, it's because of the play calling. It's because you're not trying to gimmick this up and trying to make it about Matt Nagy. I think the way you win a game in Las Vegas against a team that a lot of people are not just surprised about, but are picking as a little darling in the NFL, you go into their home stadium, your defense plays big, a lot of end zone stops, a lot of red zone stops, and you hold this team to field goals and this rookie quarterback because you're doing the things that you're supposed to do to protect them is helping you win games. And I think that's more important than scheme. That's more important than a boy genius, is getting your young quarterback in a good position and your team in a position to win week to week.
Yeah, no turnovers. And we got that key interception on our end. So the turn and the penalties weren't that bad. We had 70 yards, 8 penalties. So, and they had 82, 10 penalties. There was a lot of tempers flaring. So at one point, I thought there was going to be some fisticuffs, actually. But cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah, my only gripe about the real game was that touchdown with air quotes that Joshua Jacobs scored. Like, did you guys see that play? He was not in the end zone at all.
No, he held the ball out, and it was slapped out of his hands by Jackson. So, I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't overrule that.
After they challenged the last play, and that was the only thing. If they didn't challenge, they could have actually had that one overturned.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I think it's important too, though, is to at least keep it, as much as I want to acknowledge and have fun making fun of Paul and then just putting all the grace and glory that is Justin Fields. But I think what's also important is to acknowledge the defense, because I was one of the ones that's been the harshest to this Bears defense, the secondary. And I've been the one that's been calling this team old, but we're seeing that they're having Robert Quinn's having a nice season. Roquan Smith is going to be a fantastic player. Khalil Mack was wreaking havoc throughout the entire game, making himself present throughout the entire thing. We saw an interception in the secondary. Like, this is a team that is making mistakes, but I think you got to give them credit. They do step up, especially in the red zone, and they keep teams to field goals. And that's, Marver said, that's going to be super important against Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, Aaron Jones. You know, this is a team that's stacked. You know, their backup running back at AJ Dillon can go off at any point. This defense is going to need to step up if you're going to want to be competitive. I don't think if you're going to look at this Packers game, which we'll do as the week goes on, but I think more importantly than a win is to be competitive, put something good on film and show that you're going to be competing with a team that is head and shoulders better than everybody else in the NFC North. But in this game, the Bears did something that I think it's a stepping stone. It's a move forward. They beat a team that's good on the road with their rookie quarterback doing things they're supposed to. And the defense was a big part of that. They do still make dumb penalties. The defense does specifically. You know, we could complain about the offensive line. The offensive line might get Justin Fields killed at one point, but that defense cannot be undisciplined. It needs to be disciplined. If this team wants to have real success and they want to be a 500 team that's, competing for that last playoff spot, a 9-7 team, so on and so forth. In my opinion, that's going to be one of the Achilles heels besides the obvious on play field of the offensive line.
This year they'll have to be 10-7 though. But all in all, here was something encouraging. I mean, we beat Cincinnati, right? And today was basically an overtime game that the Packers eked out against Cincinnati after a comedy of errors of missed field goals. I mean, it's like they missed, I think, four or five, both teams, and they finally won the game, the Packers did. So that's encouraging because, we beat the Bengals and the Packers basically had an even game with them.
I don't know what's the real Bears team though. I mean, I think this is a good team. I think this is a team, whatever the new 500 is that we're going to classify, that terminology that we use, like, well, they're a 500 team, whatever that is that we're going to describe the new NFL. That's what this Bears team is, right? They're a team they're going to win some games. They're going to be competitive in games. And I think that's you and I, Marvel, were talking about it on the last edition of the Sports Cubicle, where whether they win games or not, they're going to be interesting. And that in itself is something that we have not seen in this city, is a team that whether or not they win a game, they're going to be in it and they can do things that are going to make it tough for the good teams. And they're going to beat the bad teams. And it's what you do in those middle games with the other 500 teams. And a Raiders team is kind of that in the AFC. They're going to play tough the Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Chargers, but they're going to lose a game to the Bears. Why? Because they're that 500 type team. And they're going to beat up on bad teams. So I think the Bears, this was a prove it week to me in the NFL. And I was saying this on my show, Sports on the Couch, that this week wasn't about even match teams, except for this Sunday night team and the 2-3-1, 4-1 team matchups. But I think what it was is the good teams won the games they were supposed to. And people are showing who they really are. We're in week 5 of this new league. We're starting to see the real injuries take hold in this, not just the Bears, the entire NFL. So I think we're starting to see a real picture and who's contenders, who's pretenders, and who's going to ride depending on the momentum of their team. And this was an important game for this franchise moving forward. You don't want to put, last week we said it was Detroit. You can't use that excuse now, right? Mm-hmm. This was a good Vegas Raiders team. So I don't know who's going to show up next week against the Packers, But having that behind you, beating a Cincinnati, beating a Vegas, that's good stuff. That is good momentum. And, you know, you look back at that Rams game, how different would it be if the entire offseason, the entire training camp, Justin Fields was the number one? It makes you start thinking where this offense could be had they, had Matt Nagy not been not so stubborn and we've seen them install the offense that's been working right now.
Well, you know, I don't know if he'd be playing if not for the Dalton's injury. I mean, that's what caught it. Wasn't a decision. It was they were forced to do it. So that's one thing. And another thing, too, is that, I mean, I don't know what the betting line, I mean, 20-9, I would if somebody told me they went 20-9 today, I would have been quite shocked, actually.
Yeah, especially against a good Raiders team, because as Mercado said, we've been crapping on this secondary defense for so long. The fact they put them down to, you know, 9, this is a much different Bears team than we saw them taking on the Cleveland Browns a few weeks ago, where they got just handed to them.
And yeah, I don't know what the issue was. They were talking about there was some, you know, stuff going on with Gruden on Friday with some kind, you know, some revelation of his comments, and then I don't know if that hurt them. And you know, as a road game, I understand there was quite a significant Bears presence in the stadium, so it probably wasn't as hostile an environment as it might have otherwise been.
Yeah, and as I actually heard, in that new stadium for the Vegas Raiders, tickets, the bare minimum is $700 a ticket. Huh, wow. So it might just be people traveling, because people in Vegas can't afford that. They live out there.
Yeah. Well,
bare minimum, no pun intended, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, they may have had a good day at Vegas, so they could afford it.
Well, that'll be something. Thanks to the under over that Cowboys Giants game, that wouldn't be the lucky one. Well, you know what? It's funny. We were talking about the home crowd in the NFL. You know, it was something they were talking about in the red zone, that actually road teams are doing really well this year. And I think a lot of that is the teams are so, there's so much. I don't even know what the word would be like. It's not diluted. There's just so much equality in the NFL now and amongst all sports. Like, everybody's got a lot of good players, but in the home field advantage thing, they're going to be the tough part about Vegas compared to, like, you know, we talked about it, the Bears moving to Arlington Heights, if and when that happens. It's still Chicagoland. It's still Illinois. It's still the Midwest during the winter. Vegas is never going to have true home field advantage. Maybe every few weeks if they play Jacksonville or one of these other teams. Yeah. But you're going to have cities travel. Imagine the years when Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit have the AFC West on the schedule and they're going to Vegas. In the middle of December, in the middle of November, it's a great stadium, great amenities, but it's never going to have true home field advantage.
No, it was like the Chargers playing in their smaller soccer field for a couple of years, where they never had the home advantage.
Yeah,
I want to know.
Keep going, Mercado.
Well, I want to know from Chicago, and, you know, Devin, you could give out the number, and people can give us follows on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. One of the big things up until what it was Wednesday, when we found out that Justin Fields was going to be the number one for this Bears team moving forward, I think the biggest question I had for Matt Nagy is, why are you making this so hard? Look how good it feels to have wins. Look how it was when you won a game and all we were talking about was you saying dumb things like, the offense actually still goes through me and this and that. Like, you're the head coach. Mm-hmm. We know it does. You don't say that. You're the CEO of a company. You got to make sure you keep a straight face, give due diligence, and make sure you give credit where credit is due, opposed to taking away attention from the team. And I've always thought, I wonder how much it is, you know, crazy like a fox, like how undisciplined this team may be, how this team is learning a new offense because they were, you know, slow to the punch when it came to naming Justin Fields the number one. But I want to know from the listeners listening to us here on WCPT 820 AM on the Sports Cubicle, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Mike Mercado, Paul Shavari is on assignment checking out Game 3 of Sox and Astros, and of course his Vegas Raiders loss to the Chicago Bears. What do you think? Are you surprised Matt Nagy took so long to name Justin Fields the number one? And why do you think, after all this, after all the winning, he took so long to name Justin Fields the quarterback? Marver, what do you got?
Well, I think that the other issue is it took him so long to have to give up the play calling, the Lasers. I mean, he was like so reluctant, even in the last week in the press conference. Everything goes through me, but Laser called the plays.
But they're my plays anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. So, I mean, like you say, the CEO concept, a good manager will give credit where credit's due, and he seems to be so reluctant to do that. But go ahead.
I definitely think, though, but getting Fields in there, I think it was the pressure finally. I think the fan base, you know, upper management, I think Matt Nagy knows, like, his days here are numbered. Unless it's put up or shut up time at only week 5. Yeah. He's got to make a point here, and I think it was like, okay, I want Andy Dalton. Just like he wanted Nick Foles last year. Mm-hmm. But he knows Andy Dalton isn't the answer, and Justin Fields is. That's what the fan base wants. And I think he knows even if they don't win or make the playoffs this year, if he can just keep people in the seats or keep these fans happy by giving them Justin Fields, I think in Matt Nagy land, he thinks, oh, I'm going to keep my job next year. And no, that shouldn't be how it works. But I think that's what it was, Mercado. I think it took him so long to pressure. I was like, I don't think he still believes Justin Fields is the answer.
No, I agree. Because again, the original decision was because of Dalton getting injured. So who knows what would have happened. It might have still been Dalton now.
Yeah, we would have been like 1-4.
Right.
How much of this is legit, though? Like, this is the thing that, because it can't, look it, I don't have the job, and I don't want to call a man a dummy because I don't know the pressures that come with it. But I don't know how much of this is just a smokescreen. I don't know how much, like, they know this is Justin Fields' team. They might have been hesitant towards it, but, like, at this point, they're all in. I wonder if Matt Nagy is just kind of going all in on this type of demeanor opposed to the one that he had when he first came in. I don't know where this is coming from. Because, again, like, what's the old adage? Like KISS, keep it simple, you know, stupid. Like, right. If you know what's working, the locker room is telling you what's working. Ownership is now telling you what's working. Why are you publicly saying all the wrong things and making it more difficult? Is it to take all, like, here's the interesting thing, boys. Like, we've been doing this show since the Rewind Sports 60. This is something that we've been discussing all summer since the draft. But we haven't really talked about the team. We complain about the secondary. We call out Eddie Jackson when it's a thing. But all the focus has been on what Matt Nagy says and what Ryan Pace did during the offseason. We rarely have been going in on players. Like, we haven't really talked about Akeem Hicks on a contract year, not playing a game. Like, how big of an impact that is for the team. You know, Danny Trevathan finally being active. Tariq Cohen hasn't, what's the news on that? But we're not talking about these things. We're talking about Matt Nagy. I wonder, what are you guys thinking? What Chicago's thinking? If this is legitimate, or if by the end of all of this, if this is successful and this is going to be part of the maturation period of a successful run, how much of it was dumb like a fox?
Or sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, you know? So that's part of it. And I'll say that they, in some respects, they were lucky to get to this point. And the Raiders looked like there was something wrong with them, honestly, today. I mean, they didn't have the juice that they had in some other games I'd seen earlier in the year. They had a tremendous passing game early when their wins were, but they seemed out of sync today, and maybe that's because of the Bears being great. But obviously, Khalil Mack looked highly motivated against his old team, so that was a key. He was in the backfield quite a bit.
Yeah, Khalil Mack actually did mention that he wanted to prove to them, like, this is, I'm going to make you regret trading me.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, as Mercado says, it's not the Khalil Mack of old. It's like, I felt like we saw the old Khalil Mack today. Yeah. I don't know, just might be me.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy too, though, is what Khalil Mack does in the NFL and what we've known for the league. I'm not one of these grumpy old guys that says, well, back in my league, but it is so hard. And the penalties in today's league is crazy. Like, let's not even talk about the craziness that was all the missed field goals, but the penalties in the league and what we're seeing right now. I mean, it is, there's so much great football. I mean, think about the treat that we got as Bears fans to watch this Bears Raiders game. But then you're also treated to what's going on in that Chargers Browns game. And, you know, the league is so interesting where you can have a beautiful game like that, a crazy game with defensive stops, interceptions, but then also huge offensive plays. And then in the same game, you're going to have the most egregious flags that shouldn't be happening. I think that's something the league just can't get out of its own way, is officiating. And, you know, it's the darndest thing, because what was a very great week five, we saw it in this Bears game. As undisciplined as the team may be at times, they get called for bogus plays all the time. And that's every defense in the NFL.
You know, Mike, you're absolutely right. The pass interference in my lifetime has changed dramatically. Of course, the roughing the quarterback, and I get that. I mean, I remember there were games back in the day where there was like a Y.A. Tittle of the Giants was bleeding and nothing was called. But be that as it may, I mean, the pass interference calls, I mean, they throw the flag, and I think sometimes they wish they could pick it up, because, you know, I guess the one thing is, if you don't turn your back and you're defending and you're looking at the offensive player the whole time on a pass, that's pass interference. I actually don't get that. You know, as long as you're not pushing him, you know, or whatever, and which is hard to do with your back to the opposing quarterback, but that's called all the time when the defender has never turns to face, you know, the other way when they're chasing down a receiver.
Yeah, and I've noticed that here. I will admit, I'm the young buck here. I'm the youngest of all you guys here. And I mean, I wasn't there for the old of Marvin Paul, who isn't here. And Mercado, you're closer in age to me. But I, too, have noticed in the years, definitely you've gotten way more pass interference all the damn time. And I think Marv is onto something. Yeah. And roughing the quarterback, you can't sack him unless you throw a pillow behind him to fall on at this point.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just following through, and you know, you get a penalty because you hit him because your momentum carries you. You can't stop. It's almost like you don't want to get close to him, which is defeats the whole purpose of trying to chase down the quarterback.
Mercado?
And that's what, more than everything, it's important to be a smart, disciplined football team in today's NFL. And it's easier said than done. And I get it. It's these guys are so big, so fast, so strong, and to stop in a dime. Like, I get it. It's hard. But I guess that's my biggest critique right now of everything that's going on, like how undisciplined at times this Bears team is. And I think I kind of want to circle back and I want to see where you guys think about it, because we can enjoy this that, you know, our Chicago Bears, Chicago's very own football team, whether they're in the suburbs or in the lakefront, beat Paul Shivari's Raiders and did it in their home stadium. And Justin Fields, the rookie quarterback, made sure he did work and came back after adversity. And Khalil Mack, being traded from the team that should have kept a Hall of Famer, made some noise. So I think I want to know is, what is this real Bears team moving towards Packers week? What is this Bears team? It's a running team, right? Like Marvin, you've hit on that. This is a team that needs to have the run. Damian Williams. I like this Khalil Herbert kid. What is this Bears team?
Yeah, well,
what can they be? Yeah, you know, when you guys look at them, what is the optimistic look and what is the pessimistic look for this team?
That's a good question, Mercado. Yeah.
You think today's effort may be the ceiling in a way, because this is the blueprint for success, running the ball and making sure Fields doesn't get sent to the hospital. And
didn't get sacked nine times.
Right. I mean, you look at the Cleveland game, for example. I mean, he was running for his life, you know. So this was a little better, obviously. It's getting a little better. But he still got a little gimpy. There were a couple times where he sort of hyperextended his leg and he was, you know, he was hitting the ribs. So I'm just concerned that he's going to get hurt out there. But he's a tough kid, like they say, so it may work out. But, you know, he's also going to be – they're reluctant to probably have him run, I think. It sounded like to me from listening to Nagy, because that would expose him to more hits, obviously.
Yeah, as I saw him, there's only 4 yards stay running.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it makes sense. You know, when you see guys like, you know, RG3, who was, you know, Hall of Famer for sure, got injured his rookie year and was never the same after that, especially when you've got a guy like Justin Fields, who I think we safe to say, you know, he's the franchise. I mean, he was the number one Bears selling jersey before he even like had a number. It's just, you know, you need to, and again, I agree with, you know, we need to protect our franchise, but at the same time, we need to make sure we can win games here. And, you know, like I've been saying, you need to let Justin Fields be Justin Fields.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no offense to him, but I mean, he's kind of, in a sense, a little small-ish, you know, compared to some quarterbacks. So I do worry about his durability. So
Mercado, this is Justin Fields is your guy. You loved this guy since day one. I want to hear your take.
Well, I guess for me, his size thing, I guess you just got to kind of look at the road that Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson take. And, you know, obviously it doesn't work as often as it worked for those guys. But if you're looking for the success route, you can be a smaller baseball player type of NFL player and be able to take hits and be able to take those licks that you get from running and moving in the pocket and being a smaller dude. Where I think Justin Fields kind of has advantages over some other prospects, especially part of his class, and I think Trey Lance has a little bit of this. There's a touch to the guy's throw, and you see it in this game, and you saw it in the last game against Detroit, and moments throughout his short little run here. He finds the tightest of windows, and he gets the ball there. And like, there is a confidence of this kid. He doesn't care if he turns over the ball, he didn't get the play right, if whatever happens was the play before, and he is not afraid to make a big play. And I think in today's league, where so many young quarterbacks get thrown to the fire, look at Zach Wilson. When is the breaking point for that kid? When do we really see, like, it's only been 5 weeks in? Are the Jets going to get any better? When you see Sam Darnold go somewhere else, and he may never be a Super Bowl quarterback, but we're seeing that there's talent there. You see a guy who's not, who's still very raw, whose offense hasn't completely developed around him, and is still making plays like that, still isn't getting rattled, going to road games and being competitive and now winning them. That to me is something that you don't see on Adam Schefter's thing or Mel Kiper Jr.'s thing as you're getting to draft. That's something when a rookie quarterback, a young player, plays against other pros, plays in NFL games, and we see him grow. And I think that's why the only option you have next offseason is to surround that guy, get as creative as you can. And that's asking a lot of this, you know, front office to protect this guy, because he's got everything. He's got the it factor. The only thing he isn't is he's not Josh Allen in 6'4", right?
Yeah.
But the guy's got it all. And in today's NFL, where it's such a hybrid league, I think you found your quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got to protect him. And you can't let moments like him getting his hype. He's going to get hurt. Chicago, I'm afraid to tell you, everybody gets hurt in this league. The thing is you got to make sure he doesn't get hurt unnecessarily. And that if he gets hurt, it's because it matters. You're trying to win a game. You're not in a bad season. You're not only 5 wins. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where it matters. And you got to start it now because you know he's his guy.
You're right. I mean, look at the number one overall pick in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You know,
Mr. 0-5.
Yeah, right. I mean, the thing there is that he isn't surrounded by a lot of skill. So you could be a great quarterback, and he was, and Lawrence, and the team hasn't won yet.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, this offense,
Ricardo?
This offense hasn't even really put together anything for Allen Robinson. Where are the tight ends? Like, this is the thing about, you could get frustrated about Matt Nagy, about Bill Lazor, about a lot of this slow process because they waited so long that there's still development that we're waiting for. And they're winning games without some of these guys. They still haven't had Tariq Cohen on the field. Mm-hmm. So, like, there is still a lot of electricity, if you will, a lot of momentum you can gain for this offense, but we still haven't seen it yet. And that's kind of the frustrating thing about it is you know that there's still so much unlocked potential, but why aren't we getting to the year? How much of that is the rookie quarterback, and how much is it that we waited so long to get to week 6 now, and we're starting to open up the proper playbook for him?
Exactly. And I do want to go touch back on Marv with Trevor Lawrence, how the guy doesn't have his weapons. And to me, in my opinion, that is the key of a great quarterback, because I'll go back. You guys can laugh at me. I think Rex Grossman was a fine quarterback because when the Bears gave him good weapons, he could actually produce. And that's the thing. If you're a good quarterback, you can work with, like, come on, you can say Tom Brady relies on his receivers all he wants. Let's take a look at some of the receivers he had that were not the best superstars until they played with him. Mm-hmm. And I definitely do feel like, worth Mercado saying, like, now we got the guy, we got the playbook. And yeah, for the offseason, we need to get him the weapons and the protection too from this offensive line. It's Justin Fields is the franchise here, and this is the kid we need to start making. We gave this the starting role. Now this is, I don't know if I can say this, but bleep Matt Nagy. This is Justin Fields' team. If you want to win, you do what Justin Fields says. Don't make him the prima donna. He doesn't get to make all the hot shots, but you need to build this team around him now if you want to actually be a serious contender moving forward.
Yeah, right. I mean, they also made a smart move trying to get the returner, who did pretty well, Jakeem Grant. You know, they that way they didn't have another one of their slim list of offensive weapons returning punts and kickoffs. So, and he did a pretty decent job. I think it was 20 yards average that he did today on the 5 kickoffs and punts. So I think they're in pretty good shape personnel-wise, despite the fact that they didn't have Hicks or Montgomery.
Okay. I'm really worried about what the Bears are going to be able to do moving forward with all the contracts that they've pushed back, all the money that they invested on this defense. You know, the reason you get a young quarterback that eventually you hope to pay is that you can utilize and take advantage of his rookie contract. And Justin Fields is the type of QB that if he stays healthy and if you stay on track and develop the correct way that everybody's telling you how to do, like, it's not this rocket science. You know what makes him good, and he'll develop the rest, hopefully. I don't know what kind of flexibility they're going to be able to have to get top tier offensive linemen, because here's the thing, right? We saw Kansas City do it, and they're the best team in the NFL. What do? They went to address their offensive line. Every team in the NFL is looking for a left tackle. Everybody in the NFL is looking for that stud wide receiver, but they don't exist. So we're at least in free agency market. You got to get creative and you got to scout properly. And that's the thing about this Bears team is there's been Ryan Pace. And, you know, I don't want to go too far into that because it's a Bears victory Sunday heading to a victory week of Bears Packers week. But that's the thing you got. It's all about Justin Fields. And this team right now has a defense that's good enough to keep you in games. They made it hard. How many points did we see Cleveland put up against the Chargers? And this defense kept them in check for 3.5 quarters. This defense is good. It's legit. You got to be quick on the development of Justin Fields and putting this offense around him. And you have an all-pro wide receiver right now in Allen Robinson. You have Darnell Mooney. It is time to make sure that you are developing and evolving this offense so that you can be competitive against all teams. You're not going to win every game, but that you're competitive because you have something a lot of teams don't have, and that's a star in almost every level of the defense.
Yeah, and they have Jasper Horsted too. Touchdown.
But that was a pass right there too. It's like how many Bears quarterbacks have you seen do something like that? Where you're like, oh, we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of that little touch, that gutsy movement rolling out of the pocket. Like, I think that's something that, and I'm not going to blame Mitch on this. I'm not going to blame Cutler on this. We haven't had quarterbacks recently, if ever, yeah, that you see do that. And again, Chicago, I want the Chicago fan base to kind of think about this. When the Bears had to get that final field goal, when they had to put that game away, where other years where you would have had a Mitch Trubisky, where you would have had Nick Foles, where you would have had Andy Dalton, they went down the field from his legs getting big first downs to getting big passes to making sure that they were in a position to get that field goal. Yeah. You felt confident. You felt good. Have you ever felt like that before? Where the Bears had a chance to win a game because they have the right guy under center. Chicago, the Bears might have somebody. When have you felt like that before?
Yeah. Well, the field goal kicker is pretty good, too. I mean, he's been – isn't he got a record now for consecutive field goals made? I mean, that's pretty good, too.
I believe he had one last year, too, as well.
Yeah, right.
But to answer your question, Mercado, I can tell you the last time I felt like this. Mm-hmm. I was 8 years old, and they signed Rex Grossman, yeah, and he was the first ever Bears quarterback to win his first ever game and his first ever start. That was the last time I felt confident about the Chicago Bears.
Wasn't he in the Super Bowl?
That was three years later.
Yeah. You know, here's the amazing thing. Did you see Trevathan? He was wearing number 6. They thought they retired Cutler's jersey.
He holds all the Bears records right now.
Smoking Jay is a great example of why this can't fail for Ryan Pace, for Ted Phillips, for the McCaskies, for Matt Nagy. Like, you can't go on in this franchise on not having one legitimate superstar quarterback. Every team in the NFL, you know, minus the Jacksonville Jaguars, because it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, has had somebody that they've been able to hang their hat on and say, this is our guy. Whether or not you were the only one team to win the Super Bowl, and there's a Tom Brady, Eli Manning era that was hard for a lot of teams, but like, you have to have your guy. And the Bears have never had that. And I think that is the most, that's the thing that's in behind every Bears fan is, it's the old Chicago Cubs, 108 years, finally winning in 2016 thing is, are we never going to see a great quarterback in our lifetime? And after the debacle that was the Russell Wilson thing and Tom Brady saying the Bears were on his list, like, Bears fans need this to work. And quite frankly, guys, I don't know how you feel about this. I think the NFL is dying for the Bears to have a star quarterback, because could you imagine on Sunday Night Football, a star quarterback like Justin Fields against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, or against Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? Like, the list goes on and on. I think the NFL nationally, the Bears are wanted to have a star quarterback, not just a great defense.
Well, to do that, they've actually had the Bears versus the Packers on Sunday Night Football with Mitch Trubisky going in there. But again, I see where you're coming from. It's actually a competitive game. You'll get more. But I don't even think it's so much the Bears. It's like, I've been talking, like, Justin Fields has been the most talked about free rookie signing this entire season since the draft. I think right now everyone, especially, just they want Fields to succeed. Because look, let's take a look at Fields. Guy likes to run. He can throw. He's popular. Who the hell buys jerseys? Parents for their kids. Like, I remember growing up, I saw Michael Vick jerseys everywhere, you know. Again, I don't think Justin Fields will be going killing dogs later on in his life. But again, if they want him to take a guy, and Justin Fields is the prime example of someone that you can take and market and make so much money off of. They have, like, Patrick Mahomes 2.0.
Yeah, because he's cool.
You're right. I mean, you're right. They have the Packers and the Bears on frequently. This year, I think their primetime game remaining is the Bears and the Vikings.
The great Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's something that we've talked about on the show. I've talked about on Sports from the Couch is, even as the training camp was going on and we were getting ready for the first game of the season, you looked at the NFC North, and Aaron Rodgers, as long as he's in the NFC North, is the best quarterback. Even it doesn't matter how long Justin Fields is developing. We know that because there's such a huge gap. But beyond that, the Bears have the best quarterback situation in that division. Mm-hmm. And that is unseen territory for this city to have the notion that Minnesota has a crazy nightmare going on with Kirk Cousins, and Detroit's a scrappy team. Like, shout out to Detroit. Like, we make fun of the Lions, but that's a scrappy team. And they had Matthew Stafford for a lot of years. They just couldn't put it all together. But moving forward the next 10 years, you have to feel good in Chicago for your quarterback position. And that is something that, again, I can't believe that it took so long for them to get to this place. Because you mentioned it, Devin, like, this is a marketable dude. Why? Because he's a good-looking young man who's a well-rounded citizen who knows how to play football in the third largest market in the world, and he's cool. And like, the Bears have a cool young quarterback. They've never had that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on top of that, the Bears are still, as much as people make fun of the Bears throughout the years, they still are one of the cooler teams. Like, if Justin Fields went to, I'm trying to think, what's like a very unpopular
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. If he was Trevor Lawrence sold a lot of jerseys. I'm trying to think. Like, if he went to like the 49ers or something, you know, it's like, I don't think he would be getting this, you know, hype and attention here. But again, it also does come down to the Bears have never had that, you know, got like, this is, you talked about this, like, you know, what every team has their guy, you know, it's like for the years, the Patriots, it was Tom Brady. For the Colts, for years, it was Peyton Manning. Giants, for years, it was Eli Manning. And the Bears have always tried to push the wrong guy to be the guy. It's like, you can't force it. And that just, when you do, I think that does come to the problem with some of these guys. Like, I think Mitch Trubisky, they threw way too much on him trying to force him to be the face of the franchise. I hate to say it. Maybe you should have let Mike Glennon play a little bit longer. I don't know. Let the kid take time to develop here. I mean, Justin Fields is having a phenomenal rookie year, and it's only game 5, so I should really kind of, he's having good so far.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, if you just let these kids, you know, do their thing here, but don't pressure them. And I think that might be Justin Fields' thing, is why he's succeeding so well. When Matt Nagy's like, well, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback next week. You know, it feels like the Lovie Smith there is like, oh, well, Rex is our quarterback.
Rex is our quarterback.
That, yeah, it was spot on, but yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, it's a good time. Bears beat the Raiders. We saw Justin Fields with some adversity. We saw them overcome some health things. That defense was able to, you know, stop the Raiders in very key moments in the red zone. And, you know, we enjoyed it. We didn't bury Paul on Chicago radio as much as we should have here on the Sports Cubicle, but he knows what he did being a Raiders fan, and he knows what happened. So shout out to the Bears for making this a wonderful Sports Cubicle and a wonderful Sunday for us. But I think now we can talk just for a few minutes moving forward. It's Packers week when this show ends. And I think we're all in agreement that the Packers probably should be the favorites in this game. I think what I want to see from the Bears is to be competitive, to not let the stereotypical Aaron Rodgers game happen where, you know, he's going to have somebody go over the top. Somebody's going to destroy that secondary and there's going to be a big 60-yard play. I don't want to see that. I would like to see the defensive line or one of these linebackers finish a tackle on Aaron Rodgers. That's going to happen every few times. More often than not, Rodgers gets away with it. I want to see some competitiveness, some development from Justin Fields. And I just want to see a game where it looks like the Bears maybe are not good enough to beat the Packers, but are on their way to beating the Packers. But, you know, I'm a greedy Bears fan, so just beat the heck out of the Packers one way or the other. But what are you guys looking forward to against Green Bay?
Yeah. Right. Well, like Lovie Smith said when he was hired, most important thing is to beat the Packers. So they've got to, they got to start doing that. I mean, I don't, when is the last time they beat them? Seriously.
That's a very good question. I know the last time they beat them in Lambeau was during the Jay Cutler years. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was the Rex Grossman era.
Yeah,
so it's been a while at Lambeau, at least. And again, if this is the Bears team that actually comes through, the team we saw this week, especially with how Aaron Rodgers has been so wishy-washy this season, I think, Mercado, you're going to get your wish. This is going to be a competitive team. They might actually pull off the win, Marver. I'm staying a little hopeful here.
Yeah,
but
I mean, they today against Cincinnati, they didn't look like overwhelming. So you're right.
It's all about, Mercado said, what Bears team are we going to see, though? And over tweet us at the Sports Cubicle TV, because right now, guys, we got to go take our mandated lunch break here. The boss is on our back here, so make sure you stay clocked in. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to the Sports Cubicle, everyone. We're back from lunch, and we're ready even more. But guys, you wanted to make fun of Paul Shirai for the Raiders, but right now, I kind of want to crawl in that bed and cry with him right now. White Sox going into this series 0-2 in the middle, top of the second. It's only 3-1. Like, it's not confident for me, and it's not comfortable, and it's very much like, ugh. You know, you guys are Cubs fans. You're used to the disappointment. You're getting here and being disappointed. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that they weren't able to get a split, at least, in Houston, and they didn't look that great. I mean, the bullpen sort of imploded too in that last game. It was a 4-4 and ended up with 9-4.
It became 5. And they had the tie. They brought in Craig. I'll say his Kimbrel. Name right one day. Kimbrel. Yeah. and he gave up those five runs, and it's just like, what the heck?
Yeah, Bummer took the loss.
Yeah, and it's just, this is not a team. If this is how they play, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. I love my White Sox, got my hat and shirt on, but this is not the team that deserves to go to the World Series then.
It was something that I've been talking about since June, though. It was the buzzsaw that was this Astros team. I've been talking about it here on, you know, the Sports Cubicle, on the Rewind Sports 60, on Sports from the Couch, that this was a White Sox team, right, that went to the playoffs last year. But they went to a playoffs that was after a 60-game season and a series that was in one location. Then you have this season come up. You play the full 162. You go through the entire turmoil that was the injuries and the Tony La Russa scandals in the beginning of the season and all the nonsense that was going on. And then you play against a team that's literally built to beat teams like you. It's death by paper cut. This team takes a lot of pitches. This team makes a lot of contact. They always have guys on base. And it takes a team like the White Sox that isn't good on the field. They have a lot of good players that play certain positions. But as an entire whole, they're not a good defensive team. And this Houston team has exposed them over and over again. And it's what I said in June. The White Sox were going to go to the World Series if they could avoid Houston in the first round. And they were given the bad lottery ticket that was this. Can they come back and win the series? Sure. But this is a Houston team that has been there. This is a Houston team that makes contact and that has a pitching rotation that, when healthy, is as good as anybody. And they're doing this now. And as much as I want to, you know, toot my own horn and say I call this, what also doesn't help is your offense isn't doing anything. We can talk about, when are you supposed to put Kopech in the game? What is Tony doing? It doesn't matter if the ball isn't hitting the bats and leaving the stadium. And this White Sox team hasn't done that this entire series.
Well, I don't think it needs to leave the stadium, because if you saw in the game Thursday, Houston scored by base hits, just hitting them in the right space. Yeah. And I agree with you.
Houston does that, though. The White Sox don't. And that's the issue in this series. The matchup, Dev, is, if we've been talking about this, is Houston does the correct things when they're supposed to. The White Sox are a really good team, but they don't have that type of fundamental like Houston does.
No. And it doesn't help that Abreu is not 100%. I mean, he has flu-like symptoms, and I was thinking that he may have COVID, but apparently not.
Yeah, the test came back negative, but that's definitely a thing. Like Paul was saying, you know, when you have all the guys in the lineup, this team's on fire. But especially one of your star guys like Abreu is not feeling well, it's like, that's going to definitely hit a factor. And Mercado, you said it best. This, you know, in 2019, they had two Golden Glovers, the White Sox. Believe it or not, in that crappy 2019 year, Lucas Giolito and Yolmer Sanchez had Gold Gloves. Despite Lucas Giolito being on the team, this is not a Gold Glove team anymore. This is, as you said, this is the power-hitting team, and that's not a team that's going to win. You need a team that is well rounded. And yeah, if it's home runs are fun and all, but how many games do you see really out of every team that's won by home runs? No, it's won by base hits and getting the ball in the right place, which is what Houston does. And I do want to, I like that you speculate that. I mean, you said that, Mercado. The White Sox are definitely being exposed right now. And as we said, you know, it's like Houston is going to be the problem. But I said, if you can't beat Houston, you don't deserve to go to the World Series. The best teams deserve to be there. I mean, you need to beat everyone. And as right now, I'm not seeing that out of the White Sox. They had a really strong like finish in the last week, like they did in 05. But coming into this playoffs team, it's like, this is just not the team that we saw in the last week of the season.
And I don't think the window's closed. I don't think that the series isn't over with. I just think the issues are bigger than just the roster. It's almost within the DNA that this team is going to have to, the demons this team is going to have to exercise. There's going to be moments that they're going to be right back in this thing. You know, Paul and I have discussed this on his podcast, you know, Baseball Weekend Journal, that the AL Central is going to get better. They're going to do some stuff in Detroit. And I think the White Sox are in a position where they have a lot of the right guys to make certain moves, but the window closes every year. And every year, teams get better. And you got to take advantage when you have a bite at the apple. You know, there's a reason why there was the joke or the frustration for that Cubs score where they only won the one. But it was hard for this team to go to three straight NLCSs, to go to a game 7 of the World Series. It is tough on a team to win a playoff series. And when you go against a buzzsaw that is Houston, it's just a horrible matchup. But the truth of the matter is, the entire playoffs this year is up in the air. The Dodgers nearly got eliminated and they went over 100 games. Like it was just a tough matchup. And what's going to be interesting now, if they lose this series, what do they do with Tony La Russa? What does Rick Hahn do with this roster? And how do they now bounce back after all the injuries that they went through? after the disappointment that would be this series, what do you do now? What do you do now when you have to play another 162 games? And this team did not play a competitive game since nearly July. What are you going to do?
That's what you bring up valid points here. And it's like the thing, it's like a lot of these, like LaRusso's contract's up at the end of next year. You know, I believe Aloy is up in 2023. It's like, you know, we got so many, you know, guys like Abreu said they'll stay with the team forever, but not all these guys will. And you know, we know how Jerry does it. He does not like offering long-term contracts to people. So it's like, this is, we're running, the window is there. It is there. It's like, and you say the AL Central is getting better, but it's like, guys are leaving, age is getting here. And I said, I'm like, this, like, once the trade deadline was done, I'm like, this is it. The White Sox have to do it here. And right now they're proving like, this is just, they don't want it. And this is not the team we needed. And right now they're facing other really competitive teams here. And I don't see that same hunger from the White Sox right now. And you got Tony La Russa out there kind of just doing his whole thing like, oh, this is a good team. It's like, no, this is not the good team here. Because a good team would not be only freaking putting up one run against a team like Houston in game one of the playoffs with Lance Lynn, you know, one of the guys that's considered for the Cy Young this year. It's like, this is not the team you should be seeing.
Yeah, I mean, at the trade deadline, they did need a second baseman. They got Hernandez, and they did get the bullpen help with Kimbrel and Tapera, but that may not be enough. But I don't think it's teardown time. What I would do is keep the core.
Of course.
And, you know, of course, I mean, maybe it's going to end up like the Cubbies, where when they become free agents, they have to, you know, do something. But obviously, when they're not, I would keep this core because I think that they have the talent to win. You know, I don't know. Houston has weaknesses too. I mean, you even look at Tampa. I mean, it's amazing how good Tampa is, and because they don't have a lot of household names, honestly. So it's just they got to have the right chemistry, and maybe that's their problem. They don't have the chemistry to win the whole thing right now. But I thought that they would do very well with the pitching they had, which is always a key in a playoff series.
Yeah, you would think that too, and I agree with you, Marv. It's not teardown time. This isn't the Bears. Yeah. We're not going to go put hashtag fire everyone here. They still have a lot of talent. It's just like Mercado said, I do not see the competitive edge from this team. And yeah, some changes are going to have to make as some guys' contracts are up. And let's be real, Kimbrel's gone. He's going to sign with the Cubs for $10 million because he's not worth nothing after this year. But again, it's like it's just they're going to have to make some changes. But yeah, keep the core here. But right now, especially, we're going to have to fix some of these whole. There are a few flaws in here, and you know. Lance Lynn has had the most playoff experience out of anyone in that team. And to see him come in and give up six runs in game one, it's just like, what are we seeing out here?
Well, this was a team that struggled against 500 ball clubs that had records above 500. This was a team that didn't play really good baseball after the All-Star break. And it was, they had the benefits of having such a huge lead in the division, and they were able to overcome so many injuries. So many guys stepped up, but when, like you've been saying the entire time, Dev, when you get to the playoffs, you're going against the best teams. And in today's sports, every sport along the way, everybody's equal. Every roster is nearly the same. There's little things that make you different, that make you X factors. In baseball, it's money. And right now, the White Sox are going against a team that is built to beat them, and they have a chance to still come back. But if you're a White Sox fan, you should have enjoyed the ride as much as you can. You got to hope that the talent is good enough to bounce back, whether it's this season or next season. But the series isn't over. And, you know, I'm interested to see how it's going to play out. If it is over what the front office does, but I would like to see this team get over this adversity and really show something and make it a legendary run, because guess what? You come back down to nothing. All of a sudden things look a little bit more magical when you're hoisting the commissioner's trophy. Boys, any last thoughts? What do you got, Marv?
Well, what might be necessary is for the soon to be Guardians, challenge them, or the Royals look like they have a possibility. I mean, I think it would be better for them in a way if they had a divisional race. I think that hurt them, you know, that they were posting, because the division was so bad. I mean, the soon-to-be Guardians should be there. I mean, I don't know about the Tigers or the Twins are supposed to be good, but if those teams gave them a more of a tussle, I think that would harden them for the playoffs.
I agree with you there, Marver, because as we saw with the Cubs for years, they'd make the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round because NL Central is just garbage. Yeah. And you see that a lot in the playoffs, too. It's like if you're let's take a look at football. The Washington football team finished 7-9 and got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. If you have a garbage division, you kind of make the playoffs just because, you know, you played in crap.
Yeah, well, the Braves may be the exception because that's a pretty bad division. But right now, they split in Milwaukee, so they may be the exception to the rule.
Well, just take care of home field if you're the White Sox. Try to make a run at this, and you can survive and play another game. And that is the most important thing if you're in the postseason. We are wrapping things up here on the Sports Cubicle. Don't forget, here on WCPT 820 AM, start your weekday right. Sansita Jackson in the morning, Stephanie Miller. Then we have the one and only Tom Hartman, Joan Esposito, and Patty Vasquez, of course. A wonderful slate of guests and conversations right here on WCPT, where facts matter. Your Chicago Bears over the Las Vegas Raiders, 20-9. For the one and the only Dan Marver, for Devin Tingle, for Paul Shavari, the Raiders fan in the group, please send him all your love and thoughts. Enjoy the rest of your week. Good luck to the White Sox. Go Sox. See if they can bring a victory. We need to talk about more baseball next week, so please don't end this series, boys in black. You can follow us all over the universe. We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. I've been your host, Mike Mercado. You've been listening to the Sports Cubicle here on WCPT 820 AM, where facts matter.